On the topic of sex, there is a much abused verse in Matthew 5:28. It's just one of many. And I've written about this many times, but I really don't think I've ever spoken about it. And so I'm going to speak to you directly about this verse. And I don't want anybody to use this verse against you, because the verse I'm going to give you, which is Matthew 5:28, has been used to wreck marriages. It's been used to wreck lives. It's been used to wreck men. It's been used to wreck the faith of people. And you know me, I don't like it when anything illegal is done in the scriptures. I'm on it, and I'm going to protect you from it today. But first, I want to amplify a verse that I just briefly mentioned yesterday, and that's Romans 14:22. Because I've been talking a lot about freedom and the spiritual freedom that we have, and those people, those modern circumcisionists, modern Pharisees who like to bring us into their brand of bondage. And I've been talking about fighting that. And I've been talking about those who have great amounts of faith and those who have little amounts of faith. Now, I've been talking a lot lately about girls in bikinis and other type topics like that. No, actually no other topic. That's been my main topic for a couple days. Now, I have large amounts of faith. In fact, if you need any, I have some left over. I'd be happy to give you some. And so I am free to do things that are fine for me, but they might not be fine for you. And so I want to be careful. I don't want to cause anyone to go against their own conscience, because someone with small amount of faith, they're, like I said yesterday, they're always second-guessing themselves. They're always looking around, afraid that they're going to commit the next sin. They're always worried that God's going to pounce on them. And so they're very careful. They want to make sure that they pick out the right socks, and their socks have to match their belt or whatever. Their hair has to be in place. Well, you can see the kind of faith I have. My hair is all over the place. So there are those with a little faith and those with a lot of faith. I'm not in the business of condemning people with a little bit of faith. What I will do sometimes, and I hope I don't overdo this, but I will prod them. I will maybe try to, what do you think about, what do you think about, let's go rob a bank? No, it was a joke. I don't do that. But I will prod the small faith person to try to get them to do something really crazy, like drink a beer or, what else? What else is famous for being a sin in Christianity that I do besides look at girls and drink beer? Oh, well, I'll think about that later. But for now, let's go to this verse, Romans 14:22. The faith which you have for yourself in God's sight. Isn't this a beautiful thing? This is a nice private thing you can have with God. The faith that you have it for yourself in God's sight. It's hard to believe this is actually in the Bible, right? Whoever read this verse when we were growing up in whatever religion we grew up in never heard this verse, because whoever was in charge of the religion we grew up in, they didn't want you to have that much freedom. They were afraid that if they set you free, then you would go rob banks or do crazy things like that. But no. The faith which you have for yourself in God's sight. Happy is he who is not judging himself in that which he is attesting. Happy is he. And I verify this. I'm sort of kind of happy. Happy is he who is not judging himself in that which he is attesting. That which he says is fine in his sight, in God's sight. And you know that we're justified, right? Just want to make sure you know that. Just want to make sure that we're at the foundation that nothing you can do anyway, even if you did rob that bank, can interrupt God's opinion of you, right? You will go to jail, but God will still love you, and you will still be justified, and you'll still be in the body of Christ. Nothing you can do can get you out of the body of Christ. It's not based on your behavior to start with, and you don't keep it going by your behavior. But here's the warning, and I'll warn you. Now, he who is doubting if he should be eating. And the example Paul is giving is those who are free to eat anything. Remember, in the law of Moses, it used to be you couldn't eat shellfish, you couldn't eat pork. There were things you couldn't eat because they were unclean. But God kind of did away with that. And besides, members of the nations were never under the law of Moses anyway. But there were always circumcision people who were under the law who were trying to get Paul's people into bondage of the law. Why? I told you yesterday, because misery loves company. They want you to be just as miserable as they are. They can't stand the fact that you're free, you're enjoying life, and why aren't you racked with guilt? They go to church every day, they're sweating, they're not drinking beer, they're not dancing, they're not watching R-rated movies, and that's how they think they're maintaining their relationship with God. They see you, on the other hand, doing all these things. You're eating all things. You're eating shellfish. You're eating bacon and pork chops and applesauce. And you're feeling good about it. They can't stand that you feel good about it. Okay, now, he who is doubting if he should be eating is condemned. So if you have a doubt in your mind, like if you're not sure about it, even though God says it's right, Martin Zender says it's right, like drinking a beer. It's right, no problem. Looking at a girl. Hey, look at that girl over there. Wow, have you ever seen that? I can't look, Martin. Okay, I'm not going to force you to look. I didn't know that you had a qualm about that. So you're doubting. See, you're doubting. And if I cause you to do something that you are doubting, then you're actually sinning by doing it. Let's finish this. Now, he was doubting if he should be eating, is condemned. Strong word there. Seeing that it is not out of faith. Everything, this is a startling statement, listen to this. Everything which is not out of faith is sin. That's why I say it's so great to have a lot of faith. The more faith you have, the less things are sin. The less faith you have, the more things are sin. Follow that now. That which is not of faith is sin. So, therefore, that which is of faith is not sin. Wrap your head around that. Think about that. I got another verse before I go to the passage that is being misused. Listen to this. This goes along with Romans 14:22. It's Titus 1, and it's verse 15. All indeed is clean to the clean. Can you believe this is in the Bible? Where is this verse been? All indeed is clean to the clean. Yet to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is clean. And you know people like that. Nothing is clean. They can't, they live like the Amish. The Amish, perfect example. Nothing is clean to the Amish. They are so careful. They're so careful about everything. They can't even wear any color besides black because it is a sin. And they have to ride a horse. And they can't drive a car unless someone else is driving it. Then it doesn't matter. So I guess we're hypocrites too. Anyway, nothing's clean to those people. And that shows you that they're defiled. To the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is clean. We all know the Amish are unbelievers. That proves it. Nothing is clean to these people. It's all dirty. Life is dirty. And they have to protect themselves in their little Amish enclaves. They have to hide from the world because the world is ready to trip them up. And they're one sin away from screwing up their salvation. And getting kicked in the ass by their horses, I guess, so. Yet to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is clean, but their mind as well as conscience is defiled. Their conscience is defiled. They are avowing an acquaintance with God. Oh, we are acquainted with God, but their acts are denying it. They're avowing an acquaintance, but what they do denies it. Why? Because their faith is so little, everything's defiled, everything's dirty, nothing's clean to them. To me, all things are clean, all things are lawful, because my faith is the size of the Empire State Building. All right, so I'm not going to force, and you shouldn't force anybody to do something that is good for you, but if they think it's a sin, then it is a sin, right? If they think it's a sin for them, it's not a sin. It's a sin for them. So we have to be respectful of these people. We can nudge them towards larger faith, show them the scriptures, show them these scriptures, but in the end, you don't want to push them past their tolerance. Now, Matthew 5:28. How many times, men out there, has this verse been used against you? And it speaks directly to the issue of looking. Remember I told you that the Christian religion has made an industry out of making sex the number one thing to fight against. Isn't this interesting? God created sex as good. created Adam, created Eve, he called it all good. And the very thing that God created good, Satan turns around and says, did God say that was good? Just like he said to Eve. Well, God told us that if we eat the fruit to die, we shall be dying. Did God really say that? Well, no. So look what Satan has done. He's taken this beautiful thing, sexual love, sexuality, the attraction of the sexes, and he has said, did God say that was clean? Did God say that was good? No. That is a three-letter word. S-E-X, three-letter word. Stay away from it. You know how many ways there are to sin if you hold sexuality up as the paragon of uncleanliness? There are so many avenues, so many ways you can sin. It just opens up a whole new industry to sin. And that is exactly what Satan has convinced Christianity to do. Opened up, and it's an industry. So many ways to sin, so many ways to fail. That's why there are Christian ministries built to keep men sexually pure. In other words, we're going to keep men from being one step away from exploding like Vesuvius. These men, somebody brought this up to me the other day, that when there are Christian conferences, pastors' conferences or pastors' retreats at hotels, the rental rate for X-rated movies goes through the roof. When the hotel people see that the pastors are coming to town, they warm up the X-rated movies because these people go nuts, because they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And instead of being honest about it and then just talking about it honestly like I do, they hide it. And they pretend like it's evil. Like your Jim Bakers, Jimmy Swaggerts, those kind of people. They're hypocrites. They set themselves up at these paragons of virtue and sex is wrong and we would never have a thought. We would never look at other women. It's like, and then they blow, they crack. I'm trying to protect you from that. And along that line, Matthew 5, let's start with verse 27. You hear that it was declared, you shall not be committing adultery. Yeah, great advice. Don't commit adultery. And remember what I said, was it yesterday? Adultery is not a sin of sex. It's a sin of stealing. Because God has no problem with this, okay? God has no problem with this. He's a problem with stealing someone else's wife. Aren't there enough women out there for you? You have to steal someone else's wife? You have to sneak around and hurt people? Don't do that, okay? That's a sin. You're still saved even if you committed adultery and then robbed a bank. Or let's say you robbed a bank with the person you committed adultery with and escaped on your Amish horse. You're still saved. It's hard for me to say that, but yeah. I think Amish people are included in the, as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Maybe it's the Living Bible that says, except the Amish. What do you mean? I thought we were included in that verse. No. Yes, you are. You are Amish people. Don't worry. You're going to heaven too. That's the miracle. That's the beauty of God. That's the beauty of God. It's hard to believe, I know. God has this colorful creation. He has this beautiful world with all sorts of variations of life. And he has planets in the sky. And he puts the rings on Saturn and the spot on Jupiter and the comb on top of the peacock. And you people are dressed in black because you think it's a sin to wear color. We have automobiles now. It was really, you know, and they have all different colors and they're different sizes and they have different wheels and some have spinner wheels and, oh, that's all very much a sin. What do you mean it's a sin? Look at the multifarious wisdom of God. Look at the creation of God. Look how God is dancing and spinning and you people can't get out of your black outfits and you can't put rubber on your tractor tires and you plow with a horse? I mean, I can dig plowing with the horse. I can understand why you'd want to do that. Dig plowing with the horse. That wasn't meant to be any kind of a joke, but because it's natural and it's good. But you're doing it because you think it's a sin. Once again, small faith, but you're saved. Okay, just a little aside for our Amish friends out there. All the Amish people that are fans of this channel, hope that was helpful to you. You hear it declared, you shall not be committing adultery. Yet I'm saying to you, every man looking at a woman to lust for her already commits adultery with her in his heart. Now, doesn't that sound like, at first glance, that it's a sin to look at a woman? And to just look at a woman, you're committing adultery. So you don't even have to commit adultery. You don't have to crawl into another man's house and have sex with his wife and sneak around. No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is look at her and have a desire for her, and you've committed adultery. That's what it sounds like this verse is saying. But this verse is not saying anything of the kind. But this verse has been twisted. It's been shaped into a battering ram to beat men over the head. Like, see, you can't even look at a woman, because if you do, you've just as well committed adultery with her, and we might as well stone you right now. If you go like this and look at a woman, you can be stoned. According to these people, because they say that's adultery. Wait a minute. That is equal to stealing another man's wife and wrecking two families. That is that what Jesus is saying? It's not. Because there's a crime in this context. And the crime in this context is adultery. Watch. You hear it was declared, you shall not be committing adultery. Yet I'm saying to you that every man looking at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery. He is lusting for her to commit adultery with her. It's not mere looking. It's the intent to commit. He lusts to commit adultery with her. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, if the only thing lacking is an opportunity, like if you lust in your heart to commit adultery with someone, let's say a man lusts in his heart and he goes and he plans that as soon as her husband leaves, my desire is to commit adultery with her, okay? He's going to do it. He's already decided it's all worth it. I'm going to do it. So, but as soon as night comes, the crickets are chirping, he's ready to go over. But as soon as he's ready to climb in her window, her husband comes home. Ah, he runs back and he says, no adultery, no adultery. Jesus says, yes, adultery. You lusted in your heart to commit adultery. It's the intent. Do you understand this? Because the crime, people forget that. There's a crime in this context. It's not just general looking. The crime in the context is adultery. And Jesus said, what he's doing is he's refining the law. I mean, we're not even under law. But I'm just saying, as I've been telling you for 2 days, the law of Moses is more liberal and more freeing than Christianity as far as latitude for sex, for anything. It's much more liberal. You're better off falling into the hands of God than falling into the hands of man. You're better off falling into the hands of Moses than you are falling into the hands of the Christian religion. Because they will tighten the noose on you, and they will take you into captivity, and they will ruin your life, and they will make happy people miserable, because they can't stand to see other people happy. Misery loves company, and so they will condemn you for having faith. They'll condemn you for seeing all things as clean, and they will lead you into their bondage, where you can all die in happy misery. And they notch another notch on their wall. Oh, got another one! Got another one, got another one, into bondage to law, even though they're not under law, but they put themselves not only under the law of Moses, but they invent laws, and that's what they're doing here. I want to make sure you understand this. I want to make sure I've been clear. You hear that it was declared, you shall not be committing adultery. That's the crime of the context, committing adultery. I'm saying to you that every man looking at a woman toward lust for her already commits adultery with her in his heart. He wants to commit adultery. And besides, to show you that the modern Christian application of this verse is all wrong, let's say that a single man lusts in his eyes. He looks at a woman, and she's beautiful to him, and he's lusting in his heart for her, and she's single. And he's single. Does Jesus's thing apply here? How can you even commit adultery with somebody in your heart if that person's not even married? Ah, wait a minute. Now we're getting more light on this verse. So, we're gaining some ground here. Now, I would recommend to men, make sure that before you lust after that woman, go up, tap her on her shoulder, say, excuse me, are you married?
No, I'm not, young man.
Good. Would you like to marry me? No, I just wanted to lust after you. I'm going to go back to where I was on the other side of the street. You stay right there. Now I know I can lust after you because you're not married.
Oh, you naughty boy. You are so bad.
You sure you're not married?
No, honey, but I'm willing to be married.
No, that's okay. I just want to lust.
Okay.
So, see, it's all good because how can you even commit adultery in your heart when nobody's married here? Okay, now let's go to the next level. The next level is the intent to commit adultery. It counts in the law. That's what Jesus was saying. He's refining the law and saying it's not only doing it that counts. You can apply this to anything. Adultery, robbing a bank, stealing is wrong. So I'm going to go rob a bank. And I have it all planned. I got my getaway car, got me my gun, got me my mask, and I'm going to rob a bank. And at the last minute, as I'm ready to rob the bank, the kid gets sick. Got to go to the doctor. Oh, so the bank robbery's off. And then you decide the next day, you know what, I don't really want to rob that bank anyway. But it's the intent. It's the lust in your heart to rob the bank. In the law, that counts. That counts as actually doing it. That counts as actually doing it. Wanting to commit adultery with a woman counts as committing adultery with a woman if the only thing you're lacking is opportunity. If the only thing you're lacking is opportunity, you would do it, you would do it, you would do it. The thought, the intent, the lust to do it counts for doing it under the law of Moses. So it is ridiculous and it is illegal to say that just looking at a woman with no intent to commit adultery or anything, or even ask her out for a date. You have no intent to even talk to her. You have no intent to even know her. Well, maybe ask her out for a drink, maybe, but no intent whatsoever. For Christians to use this verse as a cudgel to say, you looked, therefore you committed adultery, you have to have the intent to commit adultery. As I told you, 99.99999% of the men in this world today, in the U.S. and other countries, who looked at a woman because she was attractive, 99.9999999% of those men had no intention to steal that woman from her husband. That's absurd. It's ridiculous. Yes, there are a few that do. And they go through with it. And some of them, oops, the husband came home. I'm good. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because the intent was there. Looking at her to commit adultery, lusting to commit adultery is adultery. I think I belabored the point. I did it on purpose because I don't want you to be brought into bondage. I am a champion of grace. And I'm a champion of the Apostle Paul. I'm a champion of faith. I'm a champion of giving God credit for sending his son to do something at the cross, which is free us from condemnation, free us from guilt. And I'm saying that whatever thing you do that you enjoy, have it to yourself before God. Romans 14:22. Have it to yourself before God. If somebody has a problem with wine, I talked to you about this before, don't guzzle it in front of them. Hey, watch this. No, don't do that. And don't say, hey, come on, you need to have this wine. No, I think wine drinking is a sin. What? A sin? Jesus himself drank wine. Come on. That's wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that, because you're damaging that person. You're damaging that person. You can offer them wine, but once you find out that they're funny about it, okay, fine. It doesn't mean you can't drink it. No, it doesn't mean you can't drink it. Don't do it in their faces. Or you could take even the higher road yet and just not drink it at all. I can survive at a party without drinking wine if I know that somebody's looking at me. Let's say, there's Martin Zender. Oh, he's a great man of God. And let's say that they think that drinking wine is a sin. So I can, out of grace and out of love, I can not drink wine for the sake of that person. Yes, I can do that. What does that cost me? Nothing. I'll come home and have two glasses to make up for it. But in front of that person, I'm free to do it. I'm not going to put it in their face, but I can even take a higher road than that and not do it at all. So be considerate of one another. Pray to God that your faith would grow because I want you to be happy. God has given us so many things, as I said yesterday, richly to enjoy. And I'll close with this. The last thing I want is to stand at the dais of Christ. And the first thing out of my mouth is I'm bitching to Christ, telling him, it was so high down here. You don't know how hard it was. You're killing us down here on the earth. And Jesus says, I gave you so many things to enjoy, Zender. I gave you wine. I gave you women. I gave you song. I gave you cars. I gave you the peacock. I gave you Saturn. And what? You're living like an Amish guy down here. See, this is what God's going to say to the Amish. The Amish are going to bitch when they get to the Great White Throne. It was so hard down there. Why was it so hard? And God said, I gave you all things richly, but, you know, you thought everything was a sin. So I'm not going to be in that predicament. I'm going to enjoy the things God put on this world. I'm not going to be stupid about it. You know, I'm going to taste of things in moderation. I'm not going to hurt other people. I'm going to have my faith before God. And I'm not going to force anybody to do something that they are too weak to do.